Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is study number 47 in our verse by verse study through Deuteronomy. We come today to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 44. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are reading and studying together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pick up right where we left off. Verse 44 of Deuteronomy 32. So Moses came with Joshua, the son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. Joshua is right by Moses' side, and it is good for Joshua for the people to see him next to Moses, since he will be succeeding Moses very soon. 45. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel. That is, after Moses finished telling the people all the Lord wanted him to say, well, verse 46, and he said to them, "Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law." In other words, Moses says, take the word of God seriously, and make sure you command your children to put it into practice as well. And not just some of it either. Every word of Holy Scripture should be read, respected, and applied in a proper way. 47, for it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. In other words, don't get bored with the word of God, and don't think it is a waste of your time. It is no small thing, because the more you know the word and the more you apply the word, the better your life here will be, and that will transfer into eternity as well. 48. Then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, according to history, when it says that very same day, that very same day was February 7th, the day that Moses died. 49. The Lord told him, go up this mountain of Abiram, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession. Well, at least Moses got to view the land. At least he got to see it. Verse 50, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. God says, Moses, after you look, expect to die, and expect to be gathered to your people. And that little phrase, be gathered to your people, that does not mean be buried, you know, with your ancestors in the ground. It's not talking about the body, it's talking about the spirit. There wasn't a cemetery on that mountain where Moses was climbing. And so that must refer to Moses going to be with his departed friends and his departed loved ones. Now, I am not in a hurry to leave, but I'm really looking forward to seeing my parents and anyone else who may be out there ahead of me in eternity, because someday I will be gathered to my people, and so will you if you know Christ. 51. Because you trespass against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel, that's why Moses isn't getting into the land. Moses blew a golden opportunity to honor God in front of the rebellious Israelites, and really, he honored himself. He drew attention to himself, and for that, he will not enter the Holy Land. Now, he will go to paradise after he dies, but he will not enter the land. Something that he desperately wanted to do before he died. 52. Yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there. into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. You'll look, Moses, but you won't enter. And every time Moses hears those words, he is reminded that although faith saves us from hell, sin still robs us of earthly blessings. Let's go into chapter 33. Only two chapters left. We're winding down here. Verse 1. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And so the following are Moses' final words to Israel, and he's going to speak to each one of the tribes individually. 2. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. Moses says 10,000 holy ones, probably referring to angels, were with God on Mount Sinai when he gave his holy law to Moses. Verse 3. Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your word. God loves his people. And one thing about God's people, like it says here in verse 3, they love to hear the word of God. God loves them, and they love to be with God. It works both ways if they are really his people. I would question, therefore, the faith, the saving faith of anyone who does not enjoy God's word. Listen, if you don't have a hunger for God's word, then I would be surprised, because I don't think you'd be listening to this. But if you know someone who has not a hunger for God's word really at all, I would question their faith. I would question their salvation. Definitely. Verse 4. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob. Moses commanded a law. He certainly did. But it wasn't his law. It was a revelation from God. It is not important what any human has to say. It is important only what God has to say. And the law that Moses gave was the law of God. 5. And he that is God was king in Jeshurun, or Israel. When the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together, God became king of Israel when he gave his law, and when they agreed to abide by it and follow his leading. Do you remember that? When Moses received the law on Mount Sinai, God gave the law to Moses to present to the people, and the people responded, all that the Lord has said, we will do. We will be his people, and he will be our God. At that point, they made God officially their king. And so, that's what this is referring to. And now he gets specific about each of the tribes here, beginning in verse 6. Let Reuben live and not die, nor let his men be few. And actually, the word nor was added by the translators. So really what verse 6 is saying is this: let Reuben live and not die, let his men be few. In other words, God is saying the tribe of Reuben will live, but it will not prosper. And you remember Reuben? He was Jacob's, or Israel's, firstborn son, and he committed a terrible sin, and his offspring will suffer as a result of it. Verse 7. And this he said of Judah, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and may you be a help against his enemies. Praises for Judah. God says he will be Judah's helper. And Judah was a totally different story, really, than, let's say, the tribe of Reuben. God's blessing would be on Judah, beginning, and most importantly, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come through Judah's line. And God will listen, therefore, to the voice of Judah, and God will strengthen his grip. And what that is talking about is the fact that Judah, through the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule, not just over Israel, but over the entire world. And what a wonderful thing that is going to be. And I can't wait, to be honest with you. Verse 8. And of Levi he said, let your Thummim and your Urim be with your Holy One, whom you tested at Massah, and with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah. The Thummim and the Urim were devices used by the priest from the tribe of Levi, and they were used to somehow discern God's will. And I don't know of anybody who knows exactly how those things worked, but the priests were from the line of Levi, and they were given those devices by God to be used in discerning his will for the people. Verse 9, who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them, nor did he acknowledge his brothers or know his own children, for they have observed your word and kept your covenant. And this is really a commendation on the tribe of Levites, because remember that golden calf sin when they were worshiping the golden calf? Well, the tribe of Levi was the one tribe that remained loyal to God, and they therefore executed by order of God the Israelites who committed adultery or idolatry. In other words, they chose God over their relatives, and they are being commended for doing that. You know, some people have made the family into an idol, and it should not be. There are those, even in evangelicalism, who will tell you that the family is more important than doing what the Lord wants you to do. And I'm here to tell you, that is not true. You cannot find that in the Bible. Strong families, very important, but not to be placed above God's will for you, Almighty God's will, His revealed will. Verse 11. Bless his substance, Lord, and accept the work of his hands. Strike the loins of those who rise against him and of those who hate him, that they rise not again. Moses is asking God to bless the Levites and their ministry because of their commitment to the Lord. Verse 12. Of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, who shelters him all the day long. He shall dwell between his shoulders. By the words here in verse 12, God is saying that Benjamin would be given the most fertile land in all of Israel, and they were. And so in that sense, they were the beloved of the Lord. And not to mention, they were the one tribe that stuck with Judah and continued to worship the one true God after the 10 northern tribes seceded from the Union and began to follow idols. And so Benjamin, very important tribe in the nation Israel, and blessed. Verse 13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath. And so by the influence of Almighty God, the tribe of Joseph, actually the two tribes that descended from Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, would also prosper. 14, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months. It is God who blesses, but God uses normal things like the sun and the rain to communicate that blessing. He can turn it on and he can turn it off. Verse 15, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let the blessings come on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. The favor of him who dwelt in the bush, verse 16 says. What is that? Well, that would be God, who, remember, spoke to Moses from the burning bush. The favor of him who was in the bush. 17, his glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of a wild ox. Together with him, or with them, he shall push the peoples to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And so this verse is speaking of the two tribes once again, which came from the line of Joseph, that is, Ephraim and Manasseh. And here's the thing, Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. And what a fighter that man was, and what a leader that man was. And through his leadership, as verse 17 implies, Israel pushed the Canaanites out of the Holy Land so that God's people could live there. And we'll pick up our study in verse 18 next time. And until next time, so long, everyone.